Welcome to Wisdom from Above, episode number 169. This is Dr. Harlan Betts, and I'm delighted that you're joining me for this episode of Wisdom from Above. The goal of Wisdom from Above is to go beyond the reasoning of man to the revelation of God. Wisdom from Above podcasts dig into the Bible, discover truths from the Bible, and drive those biblical truths home to our hearts and lives. Therefore, every episode of Wisdom from Above is declaring truths that are continually relevant and genuinely practical. Today is the second episode of season number 11. This 11th season is focusing on Hebrews chapter 11 and the biographical sketches of men and women who lived lives that were victorious. Hebrews 11 is often called the Hall of Faith. And that is the title for this season, the Hall of Faith. Today's episode is the Anatomy of Faith. When I was in my teens, we had a sorrel horse we called Nugget. Nugget didn't mind being rubbed. He just didn't want to be ridden. One day I was out in the pasture and I was rubbing Nugget's neck. Before he knew what was happening, I grabbed his mane and swung on. It was really quite simple. But as soon as I was on his back, things dramatically changed. He reared up, and we were both almost perpendicular to the ground. I was hanging onto his mane for dear life. His hooves hit the ground in a full gallop. He was headed directly toward a gate that was topped with barbed wire. I think both Nugget and I knew there was no way he could clear it, but only knew he knew if he was going to try. I clamped my legs to Nugget as tightly as I could. Suddenly, he drove his rear hooves into the ground, and we were skidding ever closer to the gate. My upper body slid clear up on his neck as I clung to his mane. I managed to pull myself back down on his back just as he turned and galloped towards a huge tree. At that point, I think Nugget kind of cheated. He really didn't play fair. He ran under low-hanging branches of that tree and scraped me off his back. As I lay flat on my back, lying on the ground, Nugget stopped, looked back at me, and nickered. I think he was laughing at me. In our first episode of this season, I mentioned that there are two aspects to bull riding, the easy part and the difficult part. The easy part is getting on. The difficult part is staying on. And then I talked about two aspects of faith, the easy part and the difficult part. The easy part is being justified by faith. The hard part is being sanctified by faith. You see, justifying faith is a simple, one-time act of faith based on the work of Christ. But sanctifying faith is a difficult day-by-day action of trust in the promises of God and obedience to the commands of God. In that first episode, we discovered that we have two options. We can either shrink back to destruction, or by faith, we can press on to sanctification. The author of the book of Hebrews declared that the key to the victorious Christian life is that the just shall live by faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible shares the stories of men and women who lived by faith and were victorious. But first, the author wants us to understand the meaning of faith. What is that faith like that enables us to be victorious? In the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 11, the author carefully and precisely describes the anatomy of faith. He mentions three parts of faith: the essence of faith, the honor of faith, and the perspective of faith. We'll examine each one of these aspects of faith. The essence of faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So first, the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance is from the Greek verb hypostasis, which means under, hupo, and to stand, stasis. The word is used objectively in Hebrews 1:3 to refer to substance or essence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the very essence of the things we hope for. Somehow, faith gives substance to our hopes. So it's used objectively here in Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verse 3. It's used subjectively in Hebrews 3, verse 14, to refer to assurance or confidence. Faith is genuine confidence. Faith is confidence that God is true and God is trustworthy. Faith is a settled assurance. Faith is a settled assurance that what God says, he will do. And what God promises, he will fulfill. Faith is the assurance of the reality of the things which we hope for. So it's used objectively, subjectively, and it's also used literally in the papyri to refer to title deeds, according to Moulton and Milligan in their book, The Vocabulary of the Greek New Testament. Faith is the title deeds of things hoped for. Somehow, faith underlies invisible conditions and guarantees a future possession. The possession of the title deeds of reality should be a tremendous source of power and support in the believer's life. So first of all, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Secondly, the Bible says faith is the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is from the Greek word elegkos and means the proof or conviction. Faith is the proof of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of the things not seen. So faith involves intangibles, invisibles, unseen realities. It's the inner conviction that things which are not visible are actual. Faith is the evidence that things which are not physically visible are nevertheless genuinely factual. Faith involves the areas that can give cause for worry or concern. Things future, things invisible, things visible. Excuse me, things spiritual. Faith is solid. It will stand up against all odds. I'll never forget hearing of Lila Trotman when her husband, Dawson Trotman, the founder of Navigators, died. Dawson Trotman was out on a lake with some young people in a boat. The boat had tipped. A young girl had fallen out, and Dawson Trotman dove in to save her. He pushed her back to the boat. He got her safely to the boat, had a heart attack and died. And Lila Trotman quoted Psalm 115:3, that our God is in the heavens and he does what he pleases and he's worthy of our trust. Faith is solid. It'll stand up against all odds. Faith is settled. It is certain and needs no further proof. When I was a young boy, at home with my dad and mom, wanting to know for sure that I could go to heaven, my dad and mom opened the Bible to John 3:16 and read it like this. For God so loved Harlan that he gave his only begotten son, that if Harlan would believe in him, he would not perish, but would have everlasting life. And right there, on that farmhouse in rural Iowa, I placed my faith in Jesus Christ, and I knew that I had eternal life. I knew that I was going to go to heaven. I had no doubt and never have since that moment. Faith is settled. It's certain. It needs no further proof. Faith is sure. Faith is not just wishful thinking. It's an absolute conviction. So it's solid, it's settled, it's sure. That is the essence of faith. Absolute confidence in the trustworthiness of God. Now, before I go on, I need to make a comment. Our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in our God. So that's the essence of faith. Then there's the honor of faith, Hebrews 11:2. For by faith the elders obtained a good testimony. In this verse, when it says the elders or the ancients or the men of old, it's a reference to men and women of the Old Testament. It was by faith that these people obtained a good testimony. To obtain a good testimony is to receive divine approval. This same term is found in verse 4, verse 5, and verse 39. These Old Testament believers received the divine approval of God. God was pleased with them, and God was proud of them. They obtained a good testimony. Hebrews chapter 11 is an honor roll of Old Testament men and women of faith. It is like a list of Old Testament believers who have been inducted into God's hall of faith. They are not only men and women of old, they are men and women of honor. They have received God's honor. Hebrews chapter 11 drives this truth home with three powerful phrases. In verse 6, it tells us, God was pleased by their faith. In verse 16, the author of Hebrews tells us, God was proud to be called their God. In verse 38 of Hebrews 11, it says, they were men and women of whom the world was not worthy. These men and women weighed life in the balances of eternity. These men and women had nothing but the promises of God to cling to, and yet, without any visible evidence that these promises would ever be fulfilled, they were so convinced of the reality of those promises that they regulated their lives by them. But it was a little more than that. They were so convinced of the veracity, the faithfulness, the trustworthiness of God that they walked by faith. And since they lived their lives by faith, so can we. Here is honor of faith. God is pleased with them, and God is proud of them. That is, of those who live by faith. So the essence of faith, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, trusting God and God as faithful. The honor of faith, God being pleased with and proud of those who live by faith. And finally, the perspective of faith, Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. It's interesting that in describing faith, the author of Hebrews goes back to creation. It's a foundational truth. Genesis chapters 1 and 2, the first two books of the Bible, the first two chapters of the first book of the Bible are foundational. And he tells us here that faith is a way of understanding things. The term understanding means to perceive with the mind as opposed to the senses. Now, many people do not understand what faith is. Faith is not a mental leap into the dark. Faith is a step into the light. Faith is not an illogical belief in the impossible. Faith is a logical belief in the Almighty, all-powerful God, with whom all things are possible. Faith is not based on the myths of men. Faith is based on the revelation of God. Faith attaches itself to God. Faith believes God. It believes God is faithful. It believes God is trustworthy. It believes God is true. And faith accepts God's word as truth. As Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. As we're told in John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Faith is a way of looking at things. For example, any view of how this planet and our universe came into existence is ultimately an act of faith. The beginning of our universe is not observable, it's not falsifiable, and it's not repeatable. Therefore, any theory about its origin must be based on faith, and it must fit with the facts. Evolution is a huge step of faith. In fact, evolution is a leap into the dark because the facts are not there to support the claims of evolution. The evolutionist believes that nothing produced something, and that's impossible. There's no evidence of that ever happening. Evolution believes that non-life produced life, and that's impossible. There's no evidence of that ever happening. Number two, evolution believes that complex life forms came from single-cell life forms, but there's no evidence of that happening. And did you know that there are no two-cell, no three-cell, no four-cell, or even five-cell life forms in history or in existence? There's either single-cell life forms, or there are multiple-cell life forms. Number three, evolution believes that time and chance make everything possible, but mathematically, there's not enough time and there's not enough mathematical chance that all the things that had to happen at the same time could have happened at the same time. Number four, evolution believes that microevolution within species proves macroevolution between species, but there's no evidence of that ever happening. There are no transitional fossils. The fossil record actually supports the biblical account of creation. Our faith enables us to understand that the world was created by God in six literal 24-hour days. That's the perspective of faith. Faith believes God. Faith enables us to accept God's word as true. So let's drive this home. Faith enables us to see things unbelievers can't see. Faith enables us to understand things unbelievers can't understand. Faith enables us to do things unbelievers can't do. We've learned that faith is the absolute assurance of things hoped for. Faith is an inner conviction of unseen realities. Faith is trusting God and believing what he says. Hebrews 10:38 says, "The just shall live by faith." Faith isn't theoretical. It's practical. Well, how do I get it? I think the answer is actually found in Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing and heeding the word of God. Our faith in God is rooted in the word of God. Faith is believing God. Faith is believing that what God says is true. D.L. Moody put it this way. Some say faith is the gift of God. Well, so is the air, but you have to breathe it. So is bread, but you have to eat it. So is water, but you have to drink it. Some are wanting some miraculous kind of feeling, but that isn't faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. This is where faith comes from. It's not for me to sit down and wait for faith to come stealing over me with a strong sensation. It is for me to take God at his word. Faith is taking God at his word and acting on it. Faith is the heart of the Christian lifestyle. The just shall live by faith. Faith is a way of living. You go to a doctor whose name you cannot pronounce. He gives you a prescription you cannot read. You take it to a pharmacist you do not know. He gives you medicine you do not understand. And you take it in complete, sincere faith. Warren Wiersbe describes it this way. True biblical faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. There was a burning building in Harlem, New York. A blind girl was perched on the fourth floor window of the building. The firemen couldn't get the ladder truck between the buildings, so they could not climb up to get her. She would have to jump into a net. And they couldn't get her to jump into a net that she couldn't see. Her father arrived at the scene. He shouted through the bullhorn that the fireman had a net ready to catch her and that she needed to jump. And the girl jumped and was so completely relaxed she didn't break a bone in that four-story fall. She was saved because she believed her father. She knew her father's voice. She knew her father loved her. She knew her father wanted the best for her. And she was willing to trust her father. She did what he said was best. She was saved because she believed. Now, how about it? Do you have faith in God? Are you listening to God's word? Faith comes by hearing. Are you acting on God's word? Faith claims God's promises. What is it that is causing you to worry or fear or doubt? Are you willing to trust God regardless of the circumstances? Are you willing to believe God in spite of the odds? Are you willing to trust God in the midst of the trial? The Bible challenges us to trust in the Lord with all our heart. The Bible challenges us to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. The Bible challenges us to walk by faith, not by sight. This episode of Wisdom from Above has been a challenge to people who are believers in Jesus, a challenge to those who know for certain that they're going to heaven when they die. But it's very likely that some of you who are listening have not yet placed your faith in Jesus. You don't have the assurance that you'd go to heaven when you die. Do you want to go there? Do you want to have eternal life? You can be saved by faith in Jesus Christ. For God so loved you that he gave his only son, that if you would simply believe in him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. All you have to do is believe. The key is faith. Faith has three aspects. Gnosia, to know the facts. Assensus, to agree those facts are true. And fiducia, to trust personally in those facts. I like to use parachuting out of a plane as an illustration of the meaning of faith. First, you must know the facts. You strap on the parachute. You jump out of the plane. You pull the ripcord. You're gently lowered to the ground by the parachute. Those are the facts. I know those facts. Second, you must agree that those facts are true. Some may doubt that the parachute could do that, but I believe it can. It has been demonstrated over and over thousands of times. I agree that those facts are true. But then thirdly, you must personally trust in those facts. So it's one thing to know what a parachute is supposed to do. It's another thing to agree that the parachute can do those things. But it is a far different thing to personally trust in those facts. You see, I know the facts, and I agree that they're true, but I'm not sure I'm willing to jump out of a perfectly good airplane. I trust the plane. I'm not sure I trust the parachute. I am not truly expressing faith in that parachute until I jump out of that plane. It's only at the moment that I jump out of the plane that I am trusting in the parachute and the parachute alone to save me. In a similar way, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." It's not of works. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's not of our own good works. If you're trusting your good works to get to heaven, you're not going to make it. You cannot trust in your good works and in Jesus. You must trust in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life. If you've never before placed your faith in Christ alone for forgiveness of sin and for eternal life, I urge you to do so right now, right where you are, in the quietness of your heart. Place your faith in Jesus, who died in your place, paying the penalty for your sins, and rose from the dead. Because whosoever believes in him has eternal life. Pray with me. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for loving us so much that you sent your only Son, Jesus, to die in our place and pay the penalty for our sins. Thank you that whosoever believes in Jesus has eternal life. Thank you that we can be saved by faith in what Jesus did for us on the cross. Thank you that as believers, we can walk by faith. Help us to trust you and to obey you. We want to honor you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for carving out the time to listen to Wisdom from Above. I hope and pray that God is using these podcasts in a powerful way to impact your life and the lives of the people with whom you share these truths. Thank you for encouraging others to listen to this podcast. I genuinely appreciate your help in growing the outreach of these podcasts. Wisdom from Above is being listened to in over 50 different countries around the world. And I praise God for that because I know God's word is alive and powerful and life-changing. Well, this is Dr. Harlan Betts wishing you a great week and God's blessings. Thank you for joining me in this passionate quest for wisdom from above.